Okay, so we are in our Ask the Pastor series. We are doing today the Christian and Media Part 4. The title is Good, Neutral, Evil, Which. All right, so let's see. There's two texts that we're going to be looking at, so you might want to turn there. I'm not going to be there for just a bit, but Romans 14 is one. Romans 14. And then you'll also want to have a finger in 1 Corinthians chapter 8. 1 Corinthians chapter 8. So these are the places that we're going to be, and I'm hopefully going to be able to get to them quickly. All right, so what we want to do here, first of all, is to review. So the first, I've done four, this will be the fourth message. First one, basically, had the theme, what prompts the question? And the basic thing that I wanted to highlight there is the reasons Christians ask questions like, what should Christians do about the media, is because automatically a Christian is aware that things in the world are affected by the world, and Christians sometimes have to make some hard decisions. There's some things in the world that we know the Bible quite clearly says we shouldn't do it. There's other things that maybe aren't quite so clear. And then there's other things that seem like no big deal. So how do we make decisions? How do we decide? That's the question. And the question comes from a genuine Christian heart that wants to understand. All right, so what prompts the question? The second one was, the message was basically, the idea is, what is worldliness? And so there are a lot of things that are worldly. That doesn't mean they're all evil, because some things that are just of this life, in a sense, that's worldly. But generally speaking, we're talking about the world, the things of this life, the things of this world that is connected to or tainted by the anti-God mindset of the world. And the Bible clearly commands us not to mind worldly things, and to love not the world, and so forth. So there is something we want to discern. Worldliness is a part of the reason that we have questions about media of various sorts. All right, and then the last message: what is behind worldliness? And there, I wanted to show you that there are things in the world that push an unreal or ungodly message. Okay, so behind worldliness, there is a deception. There is an agenda often in the things of this world. And one of the points we emphasized is the fantasy nature of media, with an illustration from Malcolm Muggeridge, which I've been reading recently. I've read some more of it this week, and not surprisingly, I'm going to use him again this afternoon. But what he meant is that media always shapes its message so that it is always somewhat unreal, even when it is just news that the media is reporting. And so he really emphasizes this point. He says, I have tried to show that, as I see it, the media have created and belong to a world of fantasy, the more dangerous because it purports to be and is largely taken as being the real world. So he's saying that there's a lot in the media that is fantastic, that's not real. All right, so today, how do I discern? That's what our message is talking about. And we can apply this question about media. Muggeridge was mostly talking about television. But we can apply that to pretty well any form of media, whether it's music or movies, the internet, video games, any form of communication that promotes ideas can be mere fantasy and not reality. And I put in my notes, including sermons. All right? So you need to have some discernment. The thing for us to do, especially with sermons, is to check the message against the standard of truth, which is the Bible. And each of us needs to know the Bible as thoroughly as possible so we can develop our skills in discerning those messages that depart from it. And that's one of the reasons I encourage you to be a Bible reader. It is really important that we give ourselves to this. And I hope that you're growing in your consistency. And if you've sort of fallen off, then pick it up again. Take some time even this afternoon and read your Bible a bit and catch up. All right, or at least get going again. You don't necessarily have to catch up. You can always let it work on into next year. But just be reading your Bible. All right, well, so the Christian Media, part four, good, neutral, evil, or which. There's two texts, two main texts, and that we can't read everything that's in them. So it's Romans 14 is one passage, 1 Corinthians 8 through 10, three chapters, is the other passage. So we can't read all of that, but I'm going to read parts of it. So first of all, Romans 14, I'm going to have it on the screen for a bit, but you do want to have your Bibles open because I'm going to come back and be talking about these concepts. Now, Romans 14, 1. Now accept the one who is weak in faith, but not for the purpose of passing judgment on his opinions. One person has faith that he may eat all things, but he who is weak eats vegetables only. The one who eats is not to regard with contempt the one who does not eat, and the one who does not eat is not to judge the one who eats, for God has accepted him. Who are you to judge the servant of another? To his own master he stands or falls, and he will stand, for the Lord is able to make him stand. One person regards one day above another, another regards every day alike. Each person must be fully convinced in his own mind. He who observes a day observes it for the Lord, and he who eats does so for the Lord, for he gives thanks to God. And he who eats not for the Lord, he does not eat and gives thanks to God. For not one of us lives for himself, not one dies for himself, for if we live, we live for the Lord. If we die, we die for the Lord. Therefore, whether we live or die, we are the Lord's. Now, that's one passage. Many people confuse that passage with this passage, 1 Corinthians chapter 8. I think there's a difference between these passages. So as we read, you be thinking, seeing if you can see a difference, and then we'll talk about that in just a minute. 1 Corinthians 8, verse 1, now concerning things sacrificed to idols, we know that we all have knowledge. Knowledge makes arrogant, but love edifies. If anyone supposes that he knows anything, he is not yet known as he ought to know. But if anyone loves God, he is known by him. Therefore, concerning the eating of things sacrificed to idols, we know that there is no such thing as an idol in the world, and that there is no God but one. For even if there are so-called gods, whether in heaven or on earth, as indeed there are many gods and many lords, yet for us there is but one God, the Father, from whom are all things, and we exist for him, and one Lord, Jesus Christ, by whom are all things, and we exist through him. All right. Now there are things, he goes on in chapter 8, and he talks about things, and there are certain aspects of the instruction in chapter 8 that sound similar enough to Romans chapter 14 that people get confused and say, Paul is talking about the same thing in both chapters. Again, I don't think so. And here's one of the key reasons why. You have to carry on from Romans chapter 8 through Romans chapter 9, it's all part of the same argument, and Romans chapter 10, and you come to this in Romans chapter 10 and verse 14. Therefore, my beloved, flee from idolatry. I speak to as to wise men. You judge what I say. Is not the cup of blessing which we bless a sharing in the blood of Christ? Is not the bread which we break a sharing in the body of Christ? Since there is one bread, we who are many are one body, for we all partake of the one bread. Look at the nation of Israel. Are not those who eat the sacrifices sharers in the altar? What do I mean then, that a thing sacrificed to idols is anything, or that an idol is anything? No, but I say that the things which the Gentiles sacrifice, they sacrifice to demons and not to God. And I do not want you to become sharers in demons. You cannot drink the cup of the Lord and the cup of demons. You cannot partake of the table of the Lord and the table of demons. Or do we provoke the Lord to jealousy? We are not stronger than he, are we? Right. So there's a bit more in that chapter where he expands on this. But this is the basic conclusion of the argument right here in 1 Corinthians chapter 10. All right. So that brings me now, those are the scriptures. Hopefully you can sort of keep that in your mind or have your Bible open. Here's the proposition for this afternoon. The key to discernment is identifying the extent a thing reflects worldly values, the fantasy quotient. Okay, the key to discernment is identifying the extent a thing reflects worldly values or the fantasy quotient. So the first thing we're going to talk about is the difference between Romans 14 and 1 Corinthians 8 through 10. The conflict in Rome was over what we call indifferent things. Indifferent means there's no moral value. Okay? So they had a conflict over food. If you look at verse 2 of the Romans passage, one person has faith that he may eat all things, meat, vegetables, you know, shellfish, you know, whatever, anything. But he who is weak eats vegetables only. So a vegetarian diet. All right, now, many Christians get it wrong right here. They insist this means that those who wanted to be vegetarians did so to make sure that any meat that had been offered to idols hadn't passed their lips. All right? But the text does not say this. That's not what it says. When Paul, in Romans or 1 Corinthians 8, and when the Jerusalem Council in Acts 15 wanted to be specific about an instruction about meat offered to idols, they weren't shy in saying so. In Acts chapter 15, the letter from James said, keep yourself from things offered to idols. In 1 Corinthians 8, the whole discussion is, now about things offered to idols. Should we eat or shouldn't we eat? Now, if they're very specific there, why are they so general here? Why is Paul making the distinction between eating anything and eating vegetables only? Because it's a different issue. Okay, it's a different issue. And then we also have in Romans 14 the conflict over days. One day is more important than others, some people think. Others hold every day alike. Now, here, again, people want to say that these are Jewish holy days. Okay? And what is the correct answer to that supposition? The text doesn't say so. There are other passages when Paul wants to talk about Jewish holy days, he is very explicit. So, Colossians 2:16, therefore, no one is to act as your judge in regard to food or drink, or in respect to a festival, or a new moon, or a Sabbath day. He's talking about Jewish holy days in Colossians. In Romans, he says, one man esteems one day above another, another esteems every day alike. And the point that he's making is that Christians, in Romans, the Christians should have make no criticism or judgment of their brother because of a different conviction, a different standard. That means these things are indifferent in themselves. If you choose to be a vegetarian or to restrict your diet in some way, it's your own business. It's between you and God. You may choose to do so if you want to. It's really indifferent. There is no judgment to be made. If you choose to keep Sundays as a day distinctly different from others and restrict your behavior on Sundays, it's your business. Okay? Go ahead. You just don't look at your brother who doesn't do the same as you and say, he's a sinner. So, you say, now wait a minute. We do make Sunday different because we show up at church. Well, yes, that's true. We show up at church on Sunday. It's the Lord's Day. It's the day we worship the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. But some Christians who want to make Sunday into a Christian Sabbath say you can't go to a store on Sunday. You can't do business on Sunday. You can't go to a restaurant on Sunday. My pastor, when I was in South Carolina, he was raised here in the Seattle area to a Swedish family. And they were very strict about their Sabbath on Sunday. And he could play on Sunday, but he couldn't play hard. That was the rule. Okay, so now, should we judge his parents? You know, how restrictive. No, it's a matter of indifference. You want to keep the day holy? Keep it holy. But if somebody else wants to do business on Sunday, don't bother him. Another Christian. It's fine. It's his decision. It's between him and God. Remember one year, New Year's Eve fell on Sunday. And traditionally, we've been having for many years a New Year's Eve fellowship. And we always have pizza. And so we had somebody in the church at the time who has passed on to heaven and has now got everything squared away now. But they told me, so you're going to be going to that pizza joint on Sunday, right? I said, yes, we are. I guess I can't come then. Okay. Now, I should have said, well, but I bought it before. I paid before. Just picking it up. Anyway, so that, but that's a decision. No, they didn't say, you're evil. They didn't leave the church. They just said, I can't do it. Okay, that's the proper way to do it. It's a matter of indifference, but we can have different convictions. Okay, that's Romans 14. Remember, it's a matter of indifference. The thing itself is not an issue. That's what Paul's saying in Romans. Okay, so over there in 1 Corinthians, the conflict in Corinth was over things closely connected to idolatry. Right up front, 1 Corinthians 8:1, now concerning things sacrificed to idols. It's not a matter of just any old chunk of meat. It is something that is sacrificed to idols. So a lot of argumentation follows about the thing sacrificed to idols. And the thing in itself is not evil in this sense. It's just meat. Okay? But the connection with the idol cannot be denied. So we've been using Muggeridge's words in this thing. Muggeridge's example, television in itself is just a tool. It's indifferent in itself. But it is inescapably connected to what he calls fantasy. And consequently, it presents a false message to some degree in almost everything you get on television or similar media. Okay? This can't be denied. So in conclusion, Paul comes down to this. In 1 Corinthians 10, that's last section, if you know the meat is offered to idols, don't do it. The meat is just meat. The idol is nothing. But if it is meat offered to idols and you know it, don't do it. There's a whole list of reasons. One in 1 Corinthians 8, one in 1 Corinthians 9, one in 1 Corinthians 10. Don't do it. It's connected to idolatry. And he overwhelms you with the message. He won't have us in communion with idols. Something as indifferent as eating chicken can have you participating spiritually with an idol is what he's saying. So don't do it. So Paul says to the Corinthians, with many arguments, don't do it. Paul says to the Romans, leave each other alone. It doesn't matter. The difference is indifference or not. Vegetarianism is a matter of indifference. Or any kind of special diet that you choose to have. Sometimes there's a medical reason. But if there's not a medical reason and you choose to have a special diet, fill your boots. It's a matter of indifference. But knowingly partaking of idol food is not indifferent. And so once it is plain that this is idol food, it is connected to the idol, then don't do it. So the application of the Bible to media. We can't possibly cover every type of media or every case that might come to your mind in this message. But note the proposition again. The key to discernment is identifying the extent a thing reflects worldly values, the fantasy quotient. Again, we're picking up Muggeridge. So video games. All right, so do role-playing games where you learn the skills of, for example, trolls and dwarves and fantasy figures that cast spells and do various things. Do they reflect worldly values or biblical values? Okay. When a few years ago, a lot of preachers were very concerned about Dungeons and Dragons. And I guess there's still people who play that. I don't know. Okay. But that game had all of that kind of thing. Role-playing games, RPG, that was the big Satan. It still is, in a way. Now, I really think that Christians should stay away from Dungeons and Dragons because of 1 Corinthians 8 through 10. It is too closely connected to demonic things. All right? All right, we dealt with that one. Okay. How about first-person shooter games? How many of you think, anybody think that we should? Christians. Oh, go for it. You know what I'm talking about? First-person shooter? These video games where you shoot people up? All right. That seems kind of connected to evil, doesn't it? What about if the characters are eggs? You say, how many of you know what I'm talking about? Anybody know? Oh, see, you're very innocent about this. So my grandsons were telling me that there's this game that they love, but it has been banned in their house. It's been banned in their house because it's these eggs, and they have guns, and they shoot each other up. And the idea is to shoot up other eggs, and it's all kind of funny, except that when the boys go away from the video game screen, then they make little guns out of their building block things, and they shoot each other up. They imitate the behavior of the game. Now, do you think that's innocent? I don't know. In their house, they made the decision, that's banned, we can't play it anymore. They were telling me about that the other day. Well, we can't do it anymore. They don't understand. They don't understand why. Okay, but you see, you're having to discern. You know, at first, you know, I was thinking, oh, okay, egg shooting. Yeah, I could do that. Wait a minute. Okay, so what is that? What is the message of that game? I can go out and shoot eggs for fun. No, it's not what it is. And so the things that you start playing, way back when we were in, you know, these things have such a powerful influence, especially over younger people. Well, you know, when I was a junior high teen, okay, back then we only had two channels, okay, so you only had one of two options. But one of the things everybody watched was Stampede Wrestling out of Calgary. Okay, now you know it's Stampede Wrestling. Okay, so professional wrestling, talk about fake, it is fake. Although we did have one of them come and instruct us on wrestling in high school, and he said, well, there is a script, he says, but it hurts when you that part is real. Okay, so what happened? Well, in our playground, us boys, well, the other guys, would imitate the wrestlers. I'm Mighty Ursus. And these guys, Bret Hart. Well, that was before Bret Hart. He was just a kid then. Okay. But they would, and so in the playground we would imitate. So when you have a thing like this, this media that's communicating a value, putting this as something good, and young people are imitating, is it the kind of thing a Christian should do? That's what it comes down to. So do games that involve theft as a major component of the strategy reflect worldly values or biblical values? So there's some games. It's a racing game, a car game. What's it called? Grand Theft Auto. Oh, there it is, right in the name. Grand Theft Auto. You go and steal cars. You see? Now, okay, now I'm giving you sort of extreme examples. I put in my notes a little excuse here. Now, the board game Catan has a robber feature where you steal a resource from other players. And for me, it is a feature of the game, but not the main component of the strategy. Though those who steal from me are sinning. I just want you to know. Okay? I'm just kidding about that. But the thing is, so you have to discern. I mean, these are part of the rules of the games, and it's just a game, but are they shaping my values and the way I think in the world? So that's video games. So we talked about television a bit. Most of us are aware that the dramas we watch often have false narratives and worldly values in them. They will present a world, everybody's pretty well off, everybody's, you know, the heroes anyway, and usually. And but the question is, at what point should we say no to a drama on television? If it shows explicit immorality, we should say, I think, we could quite easily say, as a Christian, we should say no to that. If it's showing other values, drinking if it's glorifying ungodly business practices, then maybe we should say no to that too, shouldn't we? And so there is a certain amount of the false worldview in those things. So some point we should say no. But here's the question, do you say no? Do you say no? And even the news is a fantasy world. Okay? I'm going to give you an example from Muggeridge. I was talking to Daryl about this as he was coming in. He says, I remember once returning to my hotel in New York and noticing on the way that a crowd had assembled outside what was obviously an embassy or consulate or of some sort. I found out afterwards that it belonged to one of the Arab countries. There were the usual students assembled. Young activist women, bearded men, holding placards with slogans on them, and also a policeman in attendance, and a number of cops standing by with their truncheons. Everything was set for a demonstration. What's going on, I asked. Okay, they're all just standing around, right? Oh, these kids. What's going on, I asked, and was told, as though it should have been obvious, that the cameras hadn't yet turned up. I lingered on until they came and watched them set up and start rolling. Then action! Whereupon, placards were lifted, slogans shouted, fists clenched. A few demonstrators were arrested and pitched into the police van, and a few cops kicked until, cut! Soon the cameras, the cops, and the demonstrators had all departed, leaving the street silent and deserted. Later in the evening, in my hotel room, I watched the demo on the screen in one of the news programs. It looked very impressive, he thought. But it was all staged. Okay? And so, again, it's not true. Documentaries, do they project worldly values or biblical values? Do they have a worldly agenda? So, now, how much does watching a documentary shape our values against the Bible? That seems to me to be the crucial point. So you're watching some documentary and they're pushing an agenda about ecology or about whatever or even about history. Now, you just have to be aware they are presenting an idea. They're persuading you. We shouldn't ever let one documentary or one news program or one channel be the thing that shapes our opinion about things. We should be discerning. So we could go on about books and music and movies. All of these same matters can be applied to each of these media. We could say, okay, I'm not going to read anything. I'm not going to watch anything. I'm not going to play anything. I'm going to go live as a hermit out in the forest. But most of us couldn't or wouldn't live this way, and it's not very practical. What we need to know is the Lord's message first. So read your Bibles, and then apply it to everything that we take in. Everything that comes to us from the world. How much is the world trying to shape my thinking? Think about what you're watching or participating in. And sometimes simply turn away and find some other use of your time. So the proposition again, the key to discernment is identifying the extent a thing reflects worldly values. The fantasy quotient. All right, how are we doing? Okay, I put in my notes here. Questions. Does anybody have some questions they'd like to ask? Gordon.
Are you saying, like, seriously, you saw them stage?
Muggeridge said this is what he saw on this one. Yes, but you look at some of these protests, like out at, what's that forest out here that they were talking about?
Oh,
Fairy Creek. That was all staged.
Well, I can see the people not acting until the cameras came.
That's right, yeah.
It sounded like he was saying that the cameras were involved.
Yeah, they didn't start. The action didn't start until the cameras showed up.
Yeah.
Now that doesn't say that every protest is exactly like that. I'm not saying that. But the point is that we have to realize the message that media presents is their message. And so we need to get perspective. And you'll hear people talking about some big demonstration, and there were so many people there. Well, get other camera angles. Listen to other news outlets. Get some information. Often, it is built up to be way more than it is. All right? Sometimes we could minimize it, too. We have to be careful. We have to listen to both sides and think it through. All right, Maureen.
Well, I think that... So this gives you ideas of making sure that we're thinking about... I mean, that there is this... The God of this world is a roaring lion.
Yes.
And he is seeking to destroy people.
Yes.
So if people are consumed with the worldly pursuits,
yes.
Part of, even if it may seem kind of innocent, is it can take you away from actually doing positive things for the Lord.
That's right.
Because you're wasting your time.
That's right.
I guess.
Yeah. Yeah. Now there is time for recreation. But we also, I mean, I think the Bible we can justify that. But I think we also need to recognize that the things that we do, the things that shape our thinking, can affect what we value. And so we want to be sure that that the Bible is shaping us. So sometimes there may be a thing that's actually indifferent, but we say no because I don't want to be shaped by that. Okay? Or we limit it in some way. I don't want to be shaped by that. I'll use it, but I won't be shaped by it. Okay, in my thinking. Okay? Any other questions?
When you're seeing documentaries, like I've seen these documentaries, they always go to 400,000 million.
Oh, I know, yeah.
And it's okay, I can watch it.
Yeah, I'm not saying don't watch it.
I wouldn't let my six-year-old watch it.
Mm-hmm. Not without explanation. Yeah, that's right. Right, so yes, that's right. So there's many things, you know, like even, okay, some of the things you say, like some things I mentioned, are they so bad? No, all I'm saying is the world's there. So discern. Am I going to take part or am I not going to take part? Or am I going to limit it? Am I going to explain to those in my care certain things? Am I going to help them ask questions? Okay, Cullen.
Yeah, I think that's like your proposition, like the key is being able to identify the fantasy quotient or the worldliness or what the message of the media is.
And yes.
I think that applies a lot with kids because, you know, younger kids, they don't have that.
They don't have a filter at all. Like, it's just whatever. Shooting up eggs, that's totally fine.
Yeah. Right.
Even shooting up people. If you watch those, you know, those first-person shooter kids, they're just blowing things, people away. It's okay. Boom, boom, boom. You know, that's fine. Let me get them. It's fun. Yeah, but what's that teaching? What's that thinking going on? I think, I really think as a parent, I wouldn't want my kids thinking that way. I wouldn't want to be thinking that way. So I'd say no to that. Okay, now again, you know, it's how close is it connected to the idol, I think is another way of putting it. Okay, so these are decisions we have to make. The Bible doesn't give us, there's no way the Bible could actually touch on everything that people ever imagined in the world. It was written 2,000 years ago. It's not going to touch on modern things. But the principles that it teaches us gives us guidance for our lives going forward. Any last questions? Anybody else? Emily?
Well, I think that as a principle, I mean, every Christian needs to draw a line somewhere.
Yes.
And no matter where you draw the line, there's going to be someone else, often another Christian, who will show you why you need consistency.
Right, yes. Well, as they say, consistency is the hobgoblin of little minds. But okay, the thing is, we're navigating a world. She's saying, what happens? You draw your line in a certain place, and then someone comes along and say, ah, but you are doing this, and that's really on this side of the line, not that side of the line. You say, well, and you don't have a good answer. And so, I don't know. Okay, but you have to draw your own lines. Okay, at a certain point. Some things that are so closely connected to the world that we are, you know, like the meat offered to idols. Once we know it's a meat offered to idols thing, don't do it. Okay? So we just not, you know, like, okay, so almost there are almost, our world right now, one of the things that gets advertised on sports right now is gambling. Now, gambling is very closely connected to the world. I am, you know, and there are certain things. You'll go to kids' hockey games, and they're selling 50-50 tickets at kids' hockey games or soccer games or whatever. That's gambling. Okay, now, once you know what it is, to me, that is absolutely connected to the idol. I'm pretty sure. So I think you shouldn't do any of that. Okay, now it's easy for me to say because, you know, but, you know, so that's an example. Carrie.
I worked in the media in Vancouver for a TV station, and I learned pretty quickly that, and they announced these sort of things to us, that every broadcast, whether it was a documentary, a news clip, or whatever, has a slant.
Yes.
And that slant usually is to make money for the TV station. Because people, they want the popular things, right?
That's movies, right, yeah.
Movies, whatever, they want it to be popular, so they make money from it.
Absolutely.
And so having that point of view on everything, you can realize that
yes.
This is all just for greed.
Yes, that's right. Now, that doesn't mean we might make choices and we're involved in certain things, but yes. All right. Was there anybody else? Tina?
That's why the Apostle Paul told us in Romans 12, 1
pastor. Yeah.
Conform in this world.
Well, yes, but you have to learn yourself. You need to know the Bible. Make your own decisions. Yeah. All right. Maureen, were you trying to say something more?
I think that sometimes if another Christian, this is just what came to my mind, because sometimes we do have to make our own decisions and feel comfortable with them.
Yes.
I guess sometimes if a Christian wonders or questions our consistency, it's an opportunity for us to look at ourselves.
Yes.
And make sure that we actually are being consistent.
Yes.
Because it is so easy to be deceived.
That's right. And often that happens. I'm usually trying to figure out a way to argue against them that because I want to be right.
Yeah.
Okay, and you have to step back and say, okay, what if I'm wrong?
And I'll just point out a small thing that I had to, like, I sort of changed, because when we were growing up, it was quite common to celebrate Halloween.
Yes.
Because it was very, like, our dad would never let us dress up like an evil thing, but, you know, everybody loved getting candy, so that's what, we just wanted to get candy, right?
Yeah, that's right.
And then you met people that were, you know, the pastor's wife that you knew of, who
yes.
used to be in the occult.
Yes.
And people who, like, celebrate the Day of the Dead,
yep.
or whatever, then you realize it was very offensive and very closely connected to darkness.
Yes.
So you had to make a change in something that you thought was innocent,
mm-hmm.
but in fact, to, you know,
That's a good example. Yeah, that's a good example. Because, you know, my own conscience doesn't bother me about kids going around getting candy. Mm-hmm. Okay, but there are things connected with that that are very tightly connected to an evil world. Mm-hmm. So, all right, now we can have many more questions, but I think we are well past our time, so let's stop for today. And we can talk some more. Let's pray. Our Father, we thank you for this time that we've had today to consider these matters. Pray that you'll help us to grow in our wisdom. Help us to love one another. Help us to be discerning people. And help us to be walking with you in all that we're doing. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.